If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Turning our attention to matters of the pocket, looking forward to hearing a little bit more about the Experian Consumer Default Index. My next guest's name is Jaco van Jaarsveld. He's the Head of Commercial Strategy and Innovation at Experian. Now, it looks as though the CDI, or the Consumer Default Index, is improving, but is it because of better behavior or because of less access? Jaco, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. All right. So the CDI has been tracking South African consumers over a range of different loan types. Won't you please take us through some of the methodology?
Across various products and within various segments within the economy. So in essence, what it does is it measures the percentage increase in first payment defaulters, so people that's in financial distress for the first time ever. And what we've seen is in the last print of our report, there's been a slight improvement, the first improvement in about 24 months, and which is good. It's a good indicator that I think we've reached the top of the CDI for the cycle. Must be noted that it's still very high, even though it's better than the previous quarter and improvement year on year. The fact of the matter, however, is that it is an improvement, and it's an improvement because of two specific reasons. As you rightfully said, the first one is there was a reduction of supply of credit from credit providers over the last 24 months. And it's a natural thing that occurs when you see interest rates start increasing, cost of living increasing, and consumers being in financial distress, specifically from an affordability perspective. You'll also naturally see credit providers become more conservative and restrictive in terms of their lending practices. So one of the reasons that we've seen a turn is it's now the consequence of stricter lending criteria over the last 24 months, resulting in less credit being out there, resulting in less people being able to default. But we've also noticed that with the reduction in inflation, the stabilization in price increases, and then also after the first interest rate decrease, we've also seen a slight improvement in consumers' affordability, which is positive, considering that if we see further interest rate decreases due to slower inflation, we anticipate it to improve further going into the future.
Okay. This does sound like good news. And I suppose even if it is coming from higher conservatism from the banks, that's almost putting the brakes on before a crash, which is hopefully good news for everybody in the economy. Let's drill down a little bit into the numbers, Jaco. So just to be clear, the loan types include home loans, vehicle loans, personal loans, credit cards, and retail. It's quite interesting to see the trends amongst each of those. What has been your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, so the first thing that happens when we go into a distressful economy is you'll tend to see unsecured lending impacted first. So because it is shorter term loans, smaller value, but far more consumers have access to it, that's the first segment of the lending that gets stopped, and where credit providers become more conservative.
Right.
Where they become late, the last place where they start pulling back is in the secured lending space.
Got you.
Now, to put that into context, the total outstanding credit in South Africa, debt in South Africa, is 2.4 trillion rand.
Sure.
Of that 2.4 trillion, about 1.8 trillion of that is home loans and vehicle finance.
Ah.
So 80% of total outstanding debt is in two products, home loans and vehicle finance. Now, in terms of volume of people that have access to that, 12.5% of the total credit active population have access to that 1.8 trillion. So when you think of it in numbers, a very small number have access to the highest value or the highest quantum of outstanding debt. And that segment of the market is the segment that's most sensitive to interest rates.
Right.
So when you see interest rates come down, it positively impacts on people exposed to home loans and to vehicle loans. The only product that we saw a deterioration, whilst small, it still deteriorated further, was home loans.
Okay.
And that is because of a double impact on that consumer segment. Number one, interest rates, and number two, cost of living.
For sure.
So Home loans, we believe, will improve soon as well, because we've also seen some tightening in lending there. It just takes longer for secured lending products to improve than with unsecured lending products, where you immediately, when there's distress, lending stops.
Mm. I want to come back, Jaco, to this 12.5% of the active credit-exposed population. You have very interesting and very cleverly named categories of earners on the basis of 2021 gross income levels. Is this per household or individual?
No, it's actually at an individual
of
level.
Course,
so what
borrowing.
We do is...
Yes.
We've got a segmentation tool called Financial Affluence Segmentation. In short, it's called FAS. And what we do with that on a monthly basis, we'll take 27 million credit active consumers in South Africa, and we'll segment them on a monthly basis into 6 groups and 30 types. And generally what those groups and types are used to for marketing and for strategic purposes, sure, product development, because it segments the population on a monthly basis into smaller buckets of like consumers. Mm. Now, when you look at the 6 groups, the top 2 groups, your most affluent top 2 groups, have most access to home loans and vehicle finance. That's where the home loans and vehicle finance is concentrated. And when you go look at the distress in the market, it's your most affluent groups that was by far under most distress in the market in the last 24 months, simply because of the double impact of interest rates
and cost of
and the cost of living. So when one thinks about the most impacted over the last 24 months, it's literally been the top end of the market, as opposed to the lesser affluent segments that have got predominantly access to unsecured lending because of the stricter lending criteria, less access to credit, and they were less impacted. Those segments were less impacted by the downturn in the economy.
So this is why I wanted to zoom in on this 12.5% of the population, because I think there's an underappreciation for the amount of financial stress they are under. I think we know this anecdotally. We kind of have a sense of it. You know, those are the people that banks are throwing credit cards at and the like. But it's ever more true, the importance of the old adage that, you know, you never really know what a person has or doesn't have because of credit and credit extension. And that kind of a pressure, I think, perhaps our listeners, you know, who many are amongst the affluent set, could definitely use a little bit closer attention to their exposure, wouldn't they?
Yeah, certainly. And if you think about practicality around who has access to credit, you go through a journey, you start your credit journey, and we actually did a detailed test about 4 years ago, and we looked at 30 million consumers that opened 140 million accounts over a 5-year period, just to determine where credit consumers start their credit journey and then how they migrate from that first credit product through to wealth creating credit products like asset-backed lending, like home loans and vehicle finance, but more home loans. And we determined that 4 out of 10 consumers start their credit journey with a retail store card, or started their credit journey with a retail store card.
Sure.
And of those, 80% went on to banking products. And of those, of that 4 out of 10, 35-40% went on to home loans. Whereas people that started their credit journey, 2 out of 10 started their journey with a micro loan, a cash loan. Only 30% of them went on to secured lending products, which is a clear indication that when you start with cash and you get caught in a cash spiral, it's far more difficult to get out of cash loan spiral than it is starting with a retail store card of 500 Rand or 600 Rand or 1,000 Rand limit, and you pay 80 Rand a month.
Yes.
And you learn to manage credit.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is that a lot of people that is under distress right now in the home loan space, the affluent space, are individuals that's been exposed to high interest rates for the first time ever in their lives. It's individuals that got access to home loan finance on the back of building up a sound credit report between 2015 and 2020.
Sure.
And that was when we had the quantitative easing, very low interest rates, et cetera, and they bought their first house. And now they're exposed to very high interest rates and high cost of living for the first time ever. And that's why they are in distress. And the positive with that is, I look back at myself, in the late 90s was the first time I got access to secured lending products. But I remember paying 23% interest on my first car I bought. That's how high interest rates were then.
No, they were.
And I burned. I had the worst experience. It took me many years to get out of a debt spiral. What happened, though, is when this next distress came, you're far more conservative and far more prudent. And I believe the exact same will happen with this generation of consumer in the future.
That's good news. Speaking of generations, I mean, do you have a sense of the ages of people? I mean, is there a very big youth exposure? I do know, sort of ahead of the great financial crisis, one of the issues was graduates having credit cards around the world, credit cards thrown at them, also entering the workplace very young, or vehicle finance. Do you have any assessment of age groups and how they are exposed?
Yeah, I think the one thing about the South African credit economy, it is very well regulated, absolutely well regulated by the credit regulator, but also by credit providers in terms of granting credit in a responsible manner. We didn't have the same problem like in the US and the UK where every second person got a credit card.
Yes.
We literally start our journeys on store cards with small limits on 6-month and 12-month terms, and then you migrate over 24 to 36 months after you're opening that store card. You need to prove that you can manage that small limit before a bank would even offer a credit card. So what's happened then is, as the youth migrated through to home loans, in between, as I said, 2015, 2020, you literally see the distress happening in an age category now between 30 and 40.
Sure.
But late 20s, late 30s, that's where the distress is now. And it's literally young people that got access to secured lending, secured lending products when interest rates were super low.
Yeah.
And when you jump 6% in interest rates and your inflation is running at 7-8%, it's a problem. It's very expensive to maintain a standard of living, plus paying for school fees, plus paying for electricity. It's almost the perfect storm that they got caught in.
Correct. Hopefully the clouds will part. Just coming back to your point about regulation, you also take a look in the report at the Consumer Credit Market Report, and it measures sort of over the years the extent of market appetite versus approval rates, market appetite for loans versus approval rates. And I found quite interesting over the years since 2018 on this chart, it looks as though this is the widest we've ever had between appetite, even though it has slowed down, and approval rates.
So demand and supply, there's a big gap between demand and supply. But again, it's a natural phenomenon that takes place.
Correct.
It is when people are under stress, they reach out for more credit. But the flip side is suppliers of credit become far more conservative themselves because we've gone into such an spiral and high interest rates and extreme high cost of living increases. The demand has been in excess of what it used to be, but the supply has obviously been also conservative, it sounds unfortunate, but it's the right thing to do. It's far better to not provide credit to individuals that will be struggling to finance that credit and rather get through this difficult phase and then enter the positive, the upcycle in the economy again with interest rates reducing, inflation being stable, and then gradually start increasing supply again.
Yes.
That's far more productive for the economy and for the consumer.
Yeah. Well, we're very happy to know that. Jaco van Jaarsveld, thank you so much for giving us that insight, and I hope the lesson is learned for most of our listeners. Head of Commercial Strategy and Innovation at Experian is Jaco van Jaarsveld joining us this evening on Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.